Welcome back to the second hour of Issues Etc. It is Veterans Day. And by way of observing this and also bringing to light something unique about this day, we're going to be talking about ministry to soldiers, a long tradition in the American context. Captain John Wohlrabi will be our guest here. After our conversation with Captain Wohlrabi, we're going to be hearing from Joyce Meyer's message today, a review and a reaction, some advice for women on submission. She's going to talk about how she submits to her husband, and then she's going to talk about how women ought to submit to their husband. She got some Bible quotes in there, all very common sense kind of advice. My question for you women, and if you look into Joyce's audience, it is 80-90% women. My question for you women, what makes Joyce Meyer so popular with women? I listen to the stuff and I think, okay, fine, but I'm a man and I don't see the appeal, to tell you the truth. Not even dealing with the theology, just in terms of the sheer interaction, the communication, I don't see the appeal. Women, why is Joyce Meyer so popular with you women? That's your question for Open Lines that follows our conversation with Captain Wohlrabi. Then Pastor George Naim, a former Coptic priest, will join us to talk about his journey from Coptic Christianity to the Reformation. Captain John Wohlrabi serves as Chaplain Corps for the U.S. Navy. Captain Wohlrabi, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Your thoughts on this Veterans Day?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing that our country sets aside time to honor our veterans and remember all those who have served. The day goes back, of course, to Armistice Day for the end of World War One, but it was changed to a remembrance of all veterans. And so today we remember of those who have served and who are serving now.
Captain Wohlrabi, I was, this was, golly, oh my goodness, it was some years back now. I was in Great Britain on what they call Armistice Day several years ago with my family, and we happened to be in London on that very day. We were down near all of the cathedrals, and there were hundreds of thousands of little crosses, little miniature crosses, set up in every square inch of the lawn down there, and people were milling about in the grounds of those cathedrals, remembering those who had passed away in the course, I think, of probably both the First and the Second World War. These people had actually lost lives on their own soil. Yeah. Do Americans think of Veterans Day differently, since we tend throughout our history, with notable exceptions, to fight wars on not on our own soil?
Well, let me just say first, I was stationed in Great Britain for 3 years, about 10 years ago, and Armistice Day is very big there because of how many soldiers that they lost in World War One, and so that is probably their biggest remembrance for their veterans. And it is much like our Memorial Day, which our Memorial Day dates back to the Civil War, but with Britain, they lost more in World War One than they lost in World War Two. But of course, they were attacked on their own soil in World War Two, and it is a very big remembrance for them. I would say that that we, because we have been involved since the War of 1812, and other than Pearl Harbor, we hadn't been attacked until, of course, 9/11. And now we have been attacked on our own soil. And so I would think that that today is a remembrance of all those who have lost their lives, as well as those who have served and those who are serving now.
And this Veterans Day, of course, is being remembered at a time of war, at a time when, as we speak, there are soldiers and Marines whose lives are at risk in a very active battle in Iraq, in Fallujah. Your
right.
Thoughts on that?
Yes, we certainly keep all of our Marines and soldiers in our prayers, as well as the Navy personnel who are serving with them right now as they seek to to secure that area so that that they can have a vote, so that the people can have a vote in a valid election coming up in January. So we remember all of our soldiers, Marines, and sailors who are right now in combat.
Talk about carrying out Christian ministry among soldiers, airmen, seamen, Marines, all of them, whose business ultimately comes down to the execution of force and, if possible, the giving of their own lives, but certainly the taking of lives as well.
Yes. It's very important to remember that God has ordained government and given it the power of the sword, Romans chapter 13. And whether it's a local police force, sheriff, state troopers in our own country, or our military, which defends our country on a global scale, those people serve, and they are doing it to protect life, but unfortunately sometimes they have to take life, and that power has been given by God to the government to maintain order in a fallen, sinful world.
Should the Christian soldier in that respect, the Romans 13 respect, think of himself when he reads Paul's words, he is a minister of God for your good?
Yes. What the soldier, the sailor, the Marine is doing is ultimately on behalf of God, maintaining order, protecting good, punishing evil, and as long as what they do is out of a sense of duty and with no sense of malice or hatred, then they are carrying out what God has called them to do. But as we know, that is a very difficult thing for us human beings when we are in any situation. I imagine it's very difficult for a policeman who has a fellow police officer who's been killed in the line of duty, as it is for a soldier or a Marine or a sailor or an airman.
I want you to talk about ministry to soldiers in terms of how it is exactly like ministry outside the military, and in what sense is it unique from ministry outside the military?
Well, we chaplains are called to administer God's word and sacraments to members, our members, in the military, and then to also serve our country by carrying out our duties. A chaplain in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod serves under the Board for Mission Services, and so in a way we're considered missionaries, and this is just a different culture in which we carry out our mission work.
And what is unique to the needs and the concerns of those you serve with God's Word and Sacraments in the military?
Well, first of all, the age group. The youngest would be 17, although there's very few 17-year-olds. By and large, the members of the military are between the age of about 18 and 25. Now, certainly we have people older, and I of course, am older, 51 now, but the majority of the members are between the ages of 18 and 25, and so in some ways it's almost like a campus ministry geared toward that age group. The officers and the more senior enlisted, of course, are probably from 25 to up into their 40s, or maybe a little older. They're usually married, have young families. We have very few elderly people, maybe retirees that attend the chapels, but particularly when you're overseas or operational, you will not have elderly people in that you're serving. So it is very focused on a specific age group, and then it's very mobile. If you are with an operational unit, whether it's a ship or a Marine battalion or CB battalion or something like that, you will have a period of where you're at home port, what we call home port, and then you are get ready to go and you're gone for 6 months, and you could be anywhere. And so the providing worship services could be out in the field. It could be on the mess decks of a ship. It could be anywhere. You set up, you're very mobile, and you don't have always the niceties of a chapel or a church to conduct your worship services.
Talk about life on a ship, because, of course, the Navy does this, these deployments, and they're done, in some cases, in a more isolated fashion than, say, the Army would or other branches of the military would, because you might be on patrol on a certain ship for 6 months or longer. Talk about life on the ship for the soldier there.
Well, when a ship goes on a deployment, the family members, of course, stay back. The sailors are at sea, although they're usually not at sea for a full 6 months. They may pull into a port, once a month or so, depending on the operation and the situation. But you have many, many days at sea, and the sailors work usually at least 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, oftentimes more, because if you have a watch in the middle of the night, you've got that four-hour watch, and you still have to do your work the next day. Or if a person works nights and they have a watch during the daytime, they still do that. So they may be working at least 16 hours a day some days, 7 days a week. And the wonderful thing about being a chaplain on a ship is that I get to go walk around and visit anybody wherever they're working. And I don't know how many pastors get to go around and visit their parishioners at their job sites. But as a chaplain, I get to go down into the boiler room or up on the bridge of the ship or in any of the deck spaces, engineering spaces, and talk to the sailors while they're working. And oftentimes that's where a lot of counseling goes on. They may not have time to get away to visit me at my office on the ship, so I get to go to them.
So it didn't only sound like it's an opportunity to see them where they work, it's a necessity given the nature of the shift work that's done.
Yes, yes.
What about the awareness of danger for the soldier? Because we're talking about people who are paid to not only work and keep us safe, but to stay on in a condition of alert.
Yes. Every branch of service, all the members go through rigorous training. And so they practice again and again whatever it is that they do, whether it's the Marine in a combat situation or a sailor on a ship. And the biggest thing on a ship is damage control in case of attack and fighting fires and preventing flooding in spaces. And they practice these things again and again so that whenever something happens, it almost becomes automatic. You've trained and trained to what you're supposed to do. And our service members, the young men and women, are so professional. I served on the USS Blue Ridge as 7th Fleet and Blue Ridge chaplain before coming up here to Naval Air Station Brunswick, Maine. And we had a situation where we were pulling out of Busan, Korea, and a line handling accident that severed the limbs off of two of our sailors. But our sailors that were there, they responded. The lives of those young men were saved by the corpsman, and the rest of the sailors carried on their duties so that the ship could function. And I have to say it was amazing to see those young men and women carry on even in the face of danger. They did their duty. I was really proud of him.
We're talking about ministry to soldiers. Captain John Wohlrabi is our guest. He serves in the Chaplain Corps for the U.S. Navy. Our call-in number is 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You're listening to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Nowadays, the ship life does include women. It didn't always do that, but now it does. Yeah. Does that present unique temptations for both sexes, given we're talking about, you said, ages 18 through 25?
Yes, it is more of a challenge. I would say, by and large, our sailors and soldiers and Marines are very professional and carry on their duties. I unfortunately, some probably fall prey to temptation, but by and large, most carry on their duty and are very professional about what they do. But it is more of a challenge than when I was a young sailor. I was a prior enlisted sailor, and it was all men at that time on a ship.
What kind of questions do the sailors ask their chaplain?
Oh, my. All sorts of things. Some come and have concerns about faith and their relationship to God, which is a wonderful opportunity to tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some have personal concerns with family. Some have professional concerns, issues within their chain of command, and the one thing that is unique about a position of being a chaplain is that the military, by way of its regulations, maintains confidentiality of chaplains. Chaplains can never be asked to be at a court-martial. Confidentiality within the military for chaplains is pretty sacrosanct, and so every sailor, every Marine, every soldier knows that they can go to a chaplain and share a concern, and that it will stay with the chaplain.
Are soldiers and the sailors, are they sometimes more open to God's word and your ministrations with God's word because of their vocation, because of the duties that they have every day and the dangers that they face?
I would say that is the case. You know, the old adage, there are no atheists in foxholes. And that causes young men and women to think more about their lives and why they're here, and their eternal destiny. And so it causes them to reflect more than, let's say, the average young adult who is going to college or working at a job in the Midwest or something like that, because they are facing danger.
Do they ever ask whether or not they can be a Christian and do what they're doing at the same time? Are those kind of questions common?
Once in a while. And there again, it's important to stress to them that God has established order through government, and that we as Lutherans understand that in terms of the kingdom of the left and the kingdom of the right, and they are functioning in the kingdom of the left to maintain order, and that what they do out of a sense of duty is a God-pleasing thing. As long as they do not do it out of a sense of vengeance, revenge, or whatever, they follow their orders and they do what they're called to do.
I wonder, you mentioned this is like a campus ministry, and often that is a transient thing. Well, you know that, and certainly you know this, you realize this to be true as well, that these young men and women will eventually leave and go on to, they'll leave the military, they'll leave that post, that ship, whatever it may be. What is the absolute most important thing that you need to leave with the sailors and the Marines as a chaplain in the Navy, as long as you have opportunity to serve them?
Well, the most important thing is the gospel message, and the good news that Jesus Christ is their Savior, and that He has died for their sins and risen, and that through faith in Him, they have eternal life. That's the most important thing. And then that God has created them for a purpose in this life, and that right now their vocation is in the military, but after they have finished their term, God is going to use them in some other vocation, whatever that is, and whether that's using their military benefits to go to college and prepare for something, or going into industry, business, whatever they do after the military, that God has a purpose for their lives, and that they, you know, as long as what they are doing is serving God and their neighbor, that they are carrying out that calling and that vocation.
Finally, I would like you to talk about, Scripture talks about this peace which passes understanding, this peace which ensues even in the worst of circumstances. Talk about that as a military chaplain, one who serves with the Word of God, those who serve us with their lives.
Well, that is, the passage from Philippians chapter 4 is a wonderful assurance that that I've used again and again with sailors and Marines, and that no matter what we face in this world, having peace with God through Christ is an assurance that whether we live, whether we die, we are with the Lord, and that He does work all things for the good for those who love Him. And so having that peace, that assurance, which is not of this world, is something that that helps us, whether it is in a challenging situation, or oftentimes in the military you have long periods of boredom that are then interrupted by a brief period of chaos. But knowing that you're at peace with God through Jesus Christ is something that helps you regardless of the situation.
Captain John Woolrobby serves in the Chaplain Corps for the U.S. Navy. Captain Woolrobby, thank you for being our guest.
Oh, thank you for asking me to. And God's blessings to you and all the people that are listening today.
When we come back from this break, we're going to be hearing from Joyce Meyer, her daily message today, walking through it, reviewing it, and seeing what she has to say. I don't know if we're going to have time to get through the entire thing. We will stop occasionally. I do have a question for you, however, at the very front of this. We'll be listening a little bit to Joyce, but I want to know from you women out there. She has perhaps the broadest appeal, along with someone like T.D. Jakes, with Christian women. What is the appeal of Joyce Meyer? We'll listen to her message. We'll evaluate it. I'll say I don't disagree with much, if anything, of what she has to say. There's a lot left out that she should say that she doesn't say. It's just kind of pious advice. Why do women listen to her as opposed to, say, Dr. Laura, Dr. Phil? What's the appeal there? That's the question for you. Open lines issues, etc., and a review of the daily message of Joyce Meyer when we come back from this break. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And after Joyce gives some common sense advice from the Bible, I want to take my opportunity to remind you about the commands of the Bible that I think Joyce is ignoring. We'll hear what she has to say when we come back. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate by check, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. In one of his last acts as Attorney General, John Ashcroft is affirming his pro-life position by asking the United States Supreme Court to set aside Oregon's so-called Death with Dignity Act. Keith Peters has more from Washington.
Ashcroft is asking the High Court to overturn rulings by a federal judge and the infamous Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in the Oregon-assisted suicide case. National Right to Life's Burke Balsh is pleased with Ashcroft's appeal.
We've had an outrageous situation in which unelected judges have been forcing the federal government to facilitate the killing of vulnerable people through the use of federally controlled drugs to assist suicide in Oregon.
A spokeswoman for the Oregon-based Compassion and Dying Federation said the Supreme Court has already written that assisted suicide is a matter for the states to decide, and if the court respects its own precedent, it will deny Ashcroft's appeal. But Balsh says voters in one state cannot hijack the federal government and force it to facilitate the killing of vulnerable patients.
There's a federal law that says that narcotics and other dangerous drugs can only be prescribed by doctors who are federally registered and for a legitimate medical purpose.
He says taking someone's life is not a legitimate purpose. Brad Mattis of Life Issues Institute.
Physicians have promised and pledged themselves to heal patients, not intentionally take their lives. And assisted suicide is not part of medicine.
According to the Associated Press, since 1998, some 170 people in Oregon have used the assisted suicide law to end their lives. For Family News in Focus, I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
A decision on whether to hear Ashcroft's appeal to the High Court probably won't be made until next year. Meanwhile, two California lawmakers are drafting an assisted suicide law of their own. They plan on introducing it next month. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
Hi, this is Chuck Rathert, out on vacation for just a while, but our study in the book of Revelation continues, and Pastor Todd Wilkin will be the leader on the program. Your questions and comments, as always, will be welcome as we continue in Revelation. Listen to the Bible study weekday mornings at 10:05 with Pastor Todd Wilkin.
The Bible Study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
It's no secret that today's postmodern culture presents a challenge for parents. That's why Issues Etc. and Concordia Publishing House are pleased to offer two books of the month for November, Faithfully Parenting Teens and Faithfully Parenting Preschoolers. Each book costs only $9.99 plus shipping and handling. The Faithfully Parenting series is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Or check it out at issuesetc.org and click the What's New section.
Okay, explain this to me, please. Explain the appeal of Joyce Meyer. I would like to know, we're going to be hearing from Joyce Meyer, her daily program here, during this little bit of open lines here on Issues, etc. She's going to be talking about the godly submission of women. She's got some Bible passages to quote. I've watched her show on television, I've listened to it on the radio as well. When you watch her show on television and the audience is panned, one thing will strike you if you don't even really have to be paying attention. The audience is mostly, if not all, women. Sometimes it appears that her husband is the only guy there. She has a broad, one might say, unparalleled appeal with women. The Christian Oprah, the same kind of appeal that Oprah has with women, or is it? What is the appeal of Joyce Meyer with women? We're going to be hearing from her, and I've got some other questions to pose as well during this hour of open lines. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You're going to hear this. Now, we're going to use our regular criteria, okay? They're not going to do you a lot of good here because I don't think Joyce is on about preaching Christ and Him crucified. She is giving, I think she would call it, godly advice to women. And that's what it's going to amount to. But here are the criteria nonetheless. When you hear from a Christian preacher or teacher, I don't know which Joyce considers herself to be. She calls it a ministry. And the message is being delivered. How often is Jesus mentioned? Listen, just keep a tally. It's not hard to do. Second way of distinguishing what you're listening to Is Jesus the subject of the verbs? Is Jesus the recipient of your actions, your praise, your love, your service, your obedience? Or is Jesus the actor? Is he the one who does for you? Is he the subject of the verbs? And then, finally, so you can figure out what it is you're listening to, whether it's distinctly Christian or not, what are the verbs of which Jesus is the subject? That's our kind of three-part diagnostic that we use as we evaluate the messages of popular televangelists here on Issues, etc. Does Jesus save you, or does he merely empower you? Does Jesus forgive you, or does he merely give you energy to go on? Does Jesus raise you from the dead, or does he merely take your already pretty good life and make it just a little bit better? There's a big difference between those things, you know. It's open lines in about 10 or 15 minutes. First, we'll hear from Joyce, and we'll walk through it. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. I want your answer to these questions while we're listening. First of all, why should I listen to Joyce Meyer? What makes her an expert in matters pertaining to women, marriage? Dr. Phil, he's a good example. As far as I know, he's got a bona fide degree in psychology and family whatever. He's Dr. Phil. I can understand why I might listen to him, because he's got expertise, proven expertise. Joyce Meyer, no degree in this kind of stuff, as far as I can tell. Now, you might say, she's a Bible teacher. She teaches from the Bible. Does she have a degree in the Bible? No. Does she have any qualifications, the objective qualifications, beyond what she claims to be teaching from the Bible? No. So the first question I want is, why should I listen to her? And then, what is the appeal with women that Joyce seems to have? I would like that explained to me, because I'm a man. I watch this stuff. I can see the women there. I can see the women are deeply enthusiastic about what they're hearing, but I don't understand why they're there. I don't understand the appeal. Maybe it's just a man thing. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Joyce's message today is about godly submission of women.
You don't trust yourself enough to make your own decisions, so you're always checking with somebody else to see if what you think is right. Well, you know, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? I told a story recently about our daughter Sandra and her husband Steve. They're building their first home, and they always wanted a black and white Victorian house. So they were going to, you know, do white house with black trimming, and I said, black and white is so plain. Everybody's got black and white. Why don't you think about yellow? Real light lemon yellow. So they ran all over town and looked at yellow houses. And then somebody else said they saw a blue house in a magazine. So they ran around and looked at blue houses. And, you know, then they went from that to gray. So, you know, everybody that you ask has got a different opinion, because we're all different. We all like different things. And so this has gone on now for months and months and months. And I can't tell you how much time they spent looking at houses and how many conversations we've had about what color to paint this house. And guess what they came up with? White with black. But I kept telling her, I said, you know, she wants to ask me what I think about things. And of course, as we all know, I have no trouble telling people what I think. But I told her, I said, you know, I want to help you, but our tastes are different. And I said, I want this to be your house. And when you walk in it, I want you to say, I love my house. Each person has to know how to make their own decisions and stop bowing down to everybody else. Choosing to confront is a difficult thing for many people to do. I have a strong personality, in case you haven't noticed that. And my husband, in most things, is easygoing, although, you know, Dave's got some pretty strong opinions in certain areas too, but by and large, he's real easygoing, and, you know, so in a lot of things, I get my way, and he just lets me do what I want to, because they're not things that really make any difference to him. But when Dave Meyer digs in both feet, honey, it's all over but the shouting. So the bottom line is he's easygoing and he lets me have my way a lot, but he has borders.
All right, now let's just pause here at a moment, because she's going to lay out the model, and she uses herself as an example, which is pretty typical of televangelists. She's going to lay out a model of godly submission, and she's going to get to the point where she actually quotes the Bible here in just a moment. Haven't heard anything about Jesus yet, heard a lot about Joyce and her family and her daughter's new house. which I wonder, based upon the things we've been reporting lately in the last 6 months about Joyce, who's paying for it? I think probably the ministry's paying for it. Here we go. Her husband is the husband, and from what she said, you know, when he actually lays down the law or draws the line in the sand, then that's that. And now she's going to talk about the godly submission. But there's a caveat here. It's godly submission without losing your own personality. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850 or 1-800-730-2727. Just ask yourself while you're listening, what makes this any different from Dr. Phil? What makes this any different from Dr. Laura? What makes this any different from, say, Tony Robbins? All right, let's go back to Joyce Meyer. She's going to pick up where she left off, talking about how her husband is, you know, wearing the pants in the family, even though she has a strong personality.
If you don't have any borders on your life, then you're not giving anybody any messages. You can come this far, but no farther. It's healthy to have borders. That's why people put up fences. That fence says, stay out of my yard. I don't want your dog going to the bathroom in my yard. That's why I have this fence. And we need to have that in our lives. We need to get the right message across to people in the right way. I like our relationship. I want to be in relationship with you. But I've got a certain area of my life that belongs to me. And you're not going to manipulate me and control me. Come on, are y'all awake out there this morning? You know, Dave and I discuss things. And sometimes we loudly discuss things. Sometimes we aggressively discuss things. But you know what? If Dave says to me, that's enough. That's what he says, that's enough. Or he'll call me woman. Or once in a while he calls me mama. And I know when he's had enough. And you know what? At that point, I shut up. Now, there were years in my life where I wasn't that smart. He'd say, that's enough. And I'd say, that's what you think. That's not enough. I'm getting given. And I'd just keep on, you know, till I started some big war. See, that's the balance in not being, I need to be able to have opinions. Dave and I are trying to run a worldwide ministry together. I mean, if I just said, yes, honey, yes, honey, yes, honey, yes, honey. Because there's times when I'm right and there's times when he's right. And so we need to be able to discuss things, but nonetheless, he is the head of our family. And if it comes down to making a decision and we just do not agree and a decision has to be made, then I have to let him make it because that's God's order. Do I like that? No. Well, why not tell the truth?
Now, that's good. I appreciate this from Joyce Meyer. The honesty. Does she like the fact that God commands submission to her husband? No, she doesn't like it. Why not tell the truth? She doesn't like it. And in a way, you say, as long as she is realizing that that is an admission of sin, because God doesn't just suggest it, he commands it, by the way. As long as she realizes, you know, because God doesn't only command that we keep his commandments, he commands we love them too. You have to love these commandments and do them with a pure heart, enthusiastically, wholeheartedly, and not disagree with them. Well, at least she's being honest that she's admitting, even in her highly anointed state, she still does not fully love the commands of God. Oh, by the way, keep listening, because there's a command of God she's got a serious problem with. She's not going to admit to it, but I'll have to tell you about it before Open Lines is over with. Back to Joyce.
Do I always think he's right? No. The Bible says that a woman should submit to her husband as unto the Lord. And I know some of you ladies are not the least bit happy about me talking about submission, because that's the last thing you came here to hear today. But I'm talking about balance. I'm talking about proper godly submission and yet not letting yourself be controlled by other people. In almost every relationship, one of the two people, whether it's friends or marriage partners, will have a stronger personality than the other. Why is that? Because every project needs leadership. And it's a good thing. It's a God-ordained thing. But if the stronger-willed person tries to control and manipulate, or And this is equally a problem. If the easygoing person allows that person to control them, come on, both are wrong. And a lot of times the controller gets all the blame. But you know, a person with a strong personality, I'll tell you the truth, will run the world if nobody stands up to us. Hey! The choir director of the world.
Right back, at least she admits it, that she wants to run the world. I mean, you know, that's fine. Look, I can go home right now, turn on the television. Dr. Phil comes on. He's probably over by now, isn't he? Is he on before or after Oprah? I could stay on for Oprah, too, and get pretty much the same thing. People got different personalities. Some people's personalities are strong. Some people's personalities are weak. For that matter, you could turn on Jerry Springer and get this. Really, it would be in a more crass form, but it would be, you know, you're dominating your wife, or your wife is too dominating, or please help me, my wife dominates my every moment, that kind of stuff. There's nothing really here yet, although she's talked about godly submission and godly order. There's nothing here that's uniquely Christian. Really. Nothing that you couldn't get from Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura, for that matter.
So it's not healthy for me for Dave to never stand up to me. Because that's not helping me. That's actually helping me get out of balance. Because sometimes a person who's real strong, if nobody else is doing anything, they just assume that everybody wants them to take over and do it. And I've dealt with that all my life, because if nobody's doing anything, I'll do it. You don't have to invite me. I mean, if you're not taking care of it, I mean, you know, it's like 10 women go shopping. It's like, praise the Lord. What do you want to do today? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? I don't know. Where do you want to eat? Well, who wants to ride with who? I don't know. You want to ride with me? I don't know. Maybe I'll ride with you. And I can't stand that kind of stuff. I mean, that stuff drives me buggy. So what do? I say, okay, let's go to this mall. You ride with them. I'll ride with them. You ride with them. Let's eat at this restaurant. And I'm really not at that point trying to control. I just want somebody to do something lest we do nothing all day. Because, see, I'm big on accomplishment. Let's accomplish something here, you know. Let's just don't get out and wander around all day. Let's have a goal and let's attack it. Amen? But see, I've had to learn not to control and manipulate. I've had to learn to consider other people's opinions. I've had to learn to not just take over, but to find out if people want me to take some leadership, which is very easy for me to do. It's not a problem for me to do it, but yet I don't want to run all over everybody else. And so if I say, well, then why don't we go to this shopping center, and three people say, well, no, why don't we go here, then I mean I'll back off, because I want to respect their borders. Amen.
All right, so enough of that, really, because that she doesn't really go much farther beyond that in the course of this message. It's about submitting to one another and yet also respecting borders and realizing that you may have a dominant personality, and not really much that you won't get from Dr. Phil or Dr. Laura. You could probably find a similar kind of a discussion on maybe a weekly basis on Oprah. Nothing distinctly Christian about this, really. I know that she is a Christian woman. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. And the women who come to hear her are Christian. But that doesn't make what the communication's going on between them Christian. I'm a Christian man. I could go in front of a group of Christian people and I could talk about how to fix your fuel injection in your car, and that wouldn't make it a Christian message. And she's basically talking about how to fix the fuel injection in your car with regard to relationships. Is it good advice? Yeah, I can't find anything in her advice that I find blatantly wrong. But there's nothing distinctly Christian. It's open line still about 515. Our call-in numbers are 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Why should I listen to Joyce Meyer when it comes to my relationship? Why do women listen to Joyce Meyer when it comes to their relationships? She doesn't have any expertise to speak of, no objective expertise other than what she claims. I'd like to hear from you ladies. What is Joyce Meyer's appeal? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. 2727. And I need to leave time near the end to talk about, in spite of her broad appeal and the fact that she does give some kind of common sense advice from the Bible, she ignores some very clear commands of the Bible as well. Let's go to the phones. Mary's calling from Illinois. Mary, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Todd. I really like listening to your show, and I do enjoy listening to Joyce Myers for a lot of different reasons. For one, I was raised in a quote-unquote Christian home. Unfortunately, the Bible was never read as a family. Went to a parochial school, and I guess that's where my parents expected me to learn how to walk a Christian walk. And unfortunately, or fortunately, it took me to an adult stage to realize that, you know, I need to walk that walk. And I think Joyce puts a connection between the Word of God and how to do that in daily living much clearer than going to church once a week or studying the Bible by yourself.
No, I would. I understand that, and thank you for answering the question there, Mary, but so far, and I listened to the whole message, she does quote the Bible about submitting to the Lord, submitting to your husband as unto the Lord, but that's all the more Bible that she gets in there. The rest of it is anecdotes from her own life.
Okay, well, I don't
examples
know if
from her own life.
Have pulled this off the radio or off the TV. A few weeks ago, she was on TV, even prior to that, but the last couple weeks I haven't been able to find her. But during one of those half-hour broadcasts, she generally quotes 3 to 4 Bible passages, and my study practice is that I write down those Bible passages, and when her show is over with, I then read it in my own version of my Bible.
But Mary, what is uniquely Christian about this kind of a message? Because Muslims believe in the godly submission of wisdom of women. Orthodox Jews believe in the godly submission of Mormons believe in the godly submission of women. Not just Christians, Jehovah's Witnesses believe in this. What makes this uniquely Christian? In other words, where is Jesus in all of this? Where is Christ in him crucified
and
all of this?
What you played, I did not hear her mention Jesus either.
We reviewed
a convention of hers where, you know, she has stated, and it makes sense, too, because when I started listening to her, too, it's like, where's the Jesus, where's the gospel in this? But her approach, I think, is more to people who are already Christians, although I say that, you know, if you're not a Christian, she can certainly introduce you to that.
Don't Christians need to hear about the cross, too?
They do, but I look to my church, my congregation, and my pastor for that. I do not view her as a preacher or a televangelist. I view her as someone giving me motherly advice with a Christian base that I wish I would have heard daily in my life, every day, on how to address so many issues that especially women go through in their life. She came from a family of abuse. There's so many women, whether they will admit it or not, have been abused as a youth. And going through, and I can speak from experience, going through therapy for years after years after years after years, you can realize there's no stone unturned. And when you go through intense therapy or something, you can really see life in a different manner. And perhaps she doesn't have a college degree or from in any way, whether it would be psychology or, you know, from becoming a quote-unquote preacher or a minister. I think she has evidently gone through a lot of intense therapy. She can speak to women directly on issues that no male can do.
Mary, would you still listen to her if she wasn't a Christian?
To me, she wouldn't be appealing. Like I said, when I watched her show on TV and she would quote Bible passages and they would show them on the screen, I would write them down. To me, that was appealing.
All right, Mary, thank you very much. You see, I'm still not getting it, okay? And maybe I'm just as dense can be, but when her advice amounts to nothing uniquely Christian, there's nothing uniquely Christian about it. And I'm not going to argue with Mary that it's not helpful advice. Although, Mary, I would be careful. Because the theology that lurks behind Joyce Meyer's advice is distinctly non-Christian, unbiblical. You won't hear her talk about it because that's not her bailiwick. Is it therapy? Is that the appeal here? I mean, I understand she has a broad appeal with women, but if there's nothing uniquely Christian about it, if a Muslim could say, hey, that was good advice, or an Orthodox Jew or a Mormon or a Jehovah Witness say, hey, we believe in godly submission too. And they even quote the Bible too. What difference does it make? Bill is calling from his car. Bill, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Yeah, I mentioned to Jeff what I was going to say, and it probably would come off as less than charitable, so I'll mitigate it. From my viewpoint, I don't listen to Joyce Myers much at all, except what I hear here and there. But to me, she comes off as a woman who is assertive, successful, fabulously rich, seems to have the answers for everything. And the fact that she's a Christian, I'll give her that. The fact that she's a Christian, I think seems to validate all the rest of that to a large number of her listeners.
So in other words,
I wouldn't put up with the woman. I couldn't. But that's just my take on
Bill,
it.
Bill, thank you for the call. Is it the fact that she is a Christian, and so her message doesn't have to be Christian? You know, we did a thing on Joel Osteen some time back, and we had a caller who said, yeah, he doesn't preach about Jesus, but he's so full of Jesus that he doesn't have to. It's kind of like the president, George W. Bush, is so full of being pro-life that he didn't have to appoint anyone who's pro-life. He just exudes pro-life, so he didn't actually have to do anything that's distinctly pro-life. These people are so Christian that they don't have to preach Christ. Don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with handing out godly advice, but hell's going to be full of people who took godly advice. Hell's going to be full of people who got all their tips and hints for the Christian life out of the Bible, straight out of God's Word, but missed the point of the Bible, namely, the one who came to pay the price for when we do not live the life God commands we live. And if you've got a program, and yet, sure, women need to hear this kind of advice to help them cope with life. Maybe that's the appeal. When you have a program like this and you do it as a Christian, I would think that, you know, you'd never think yourself so Christian that you don't have to preach Christ. We're going to continue open lines here on the other side of this break. And when we come back, we'll continue talking about the appeal of Joyce Meyer with women. We've wondered about this a lot privately here behind the scenes at Issues, Etc. What's the appeal? We listen to these programs and we say to ourselves, and of course we're all men, we say, what's the appeal? That's the answer I want from you when we come back. More open lines. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our address is Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri 63117. Or you can contact us via our website at www.issuesetc.org. That's www.issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this station or the Jubilee Network. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.